That's good. That's good. Well, I'm excited and ready to roll and get going. This morning, we're going to talk about ministering to women. And we want to talk a little bit about what do women really need? What do women really need? What would you say that women really need? Chocolate. You know, this morning, I might just go with that. I might just go with that. What do women really need? Jesus, I heard validation. Need. Oh, we're going to have a whole nother class here. Huh, shopping? Okay, I see what we're going through this morning. What we really need is transformation. Oh, not chocolate? Oh. Let us look to the Lord for much help. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. God, we're so grateful for this day that you've made, a day that we've never seen, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity to get it right. We thank you for another opportunity to love you appropriately, God, and to love others. Father, we come asking that you would please forgive us of our sins, God. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. There are so many places where we've not thought what we should think. We have not said what we should say. We've not done what we should do. God, have mercy on our souls. We're reminded of Psalm 51, Lord God, that cleanse us, wash us white as snow. And we thank you, God, that we can stand rightly before you because of the death of your son and ask for these things, and that you see us through his blood and not through our imperfections and our sin issues. So we thank you for seeing us through the blood of Christ. Father, we pray this morning that you'll be with us, God, that you will give us physical endurance to make it through the day, God. Give us mental stamina to comprehend your word today. Open our mind, open our hearts. Let us be willing to hear you, Lord God. And Father, when we do hear you, let us be willing to make changes, Lord God. Please, Holy Spirit, empower us today to be different today than we were yesterday, God. Let it be a lifelong, permanent change. And then, God, equip us to go out and minister to other women, Lord God, and meet them where they are and give them what they need, which is ultimately the gospel and transformation in you. We bless your holy name, and we look forward to what you will do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Amen. Now, our goal for this morning is going to be to explore the unique needs of women and how to best teach, lead, and I'm going to throw in counsel, and support them. How to best teach, lead, and support them. Now, I want us to take a moment and read some of the scripture. Can I get some readers for this morning? Yes, ma'am, right here. If you would, please, read for me chapter 1 of Titus. Can I get someone to read chapter 2? Yes, ma'am, in the blue. All right. When we're ready, if you'll turn in your Bibles, I know you brought some form of a Bible to the Bible conference, right? All right, really nice and loudly, chapter 1. Okay, one moment. So who wrote the book? Paul. Who's he writing to? Titus. All right. Just checking. Okay, so he's warning them to watch out for what? False teachers, and they are defined as those who do what? How do they upset whole families? By teaching things they know nothing about. Uh-oh, counselors. Remember we talked about that yesterday? Keep going. My. Now, what if someone was saying that about us? Really? Wouldn't that be horrible? Let's go, chapter 2. And actually, you can stop right there. So older women are to teach the younger women for a purpose. What's the purpose? Oh, that's what they're supposed to teach them, but what's the, I heard it. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, that's our backdrop, our biblical backdrop, but I want to step away from that for a moment and just go through time and ask the questions, what have we been taught through the years? What have we been taught from television? The image, role, and needs of women have been presented in different ways throughout the years. Anyone remember this one? That's Leave It to Beaver, right? Now, that was June Cleaver. She was happy being a worker at home, correct? This is 1957. She was happy when they made washing machines and different things like that. She was excited to get that as a present from her husband. Right? Now, what about this one? Sorry, I'm going a little too fast. Hold on. Mary Tyler Moore. Now, what we have here is she's the first never married independent career woman. Now, we just went from 57 to 70s. Now, what has changed in the thought process just that quickly? I can do it myself. I don't need no man. Aren't we still saying that? All right. And what about Murphy Brown? Now, she was a selfish, stubborn, hot-tempered, sound like fits of rage, anybody? Hot-tempered, but she was this middle-aged news reporter who was going to raise this child as an unmarried working woman. Now we're into the 88 to 98. President Dan Quayle had, Vice President had a problem with this. And they attacked the show, saying that this was a shame. You're putting down the importance of fathers. What were we being taught by these shows? Dads aren't necessary. Men aren't necessary. I can do this for myself. Now, I'll keep going through the years. We ended up with this one. Anybody remember them?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Cosby Show. Everybody love America's Couple, right? There's nothing wrong with the Cosby Show, is there? Stone her. She's talking about the Cosbys. What's the problem here? What were they teaching us? You can have it all. You can have it all. And you know what? It's okay if you teach your children to lie. It's okay if your husband's really not the head of the house. It's okay if he won't be responsible for his health and eat crazy and do different things. It's okay. Now we're down in 92. Guess what else? Now, this is 98. Now, this was the year that she came out on TV. Now, if you notice, we're going further and further and further away from what we just read. We're falling. It's a slippery slope. Then we came here to Friends. Now, this was all about sex and love and friend relationship. Exactly. Family was no longer important. Family values were no longer important. What's most important is your friends and hanging out with your friends. And this became Friends with Benefits. Y'all looking at me like, ooh. Now look. Now we know we have not all been saved all our days, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
Then we got Sex in the City. And many Christian women were lining up at the movie theaters to go see Sex in the City. This was just a more depraved version of Friends. Now, what were they teaching us? You can have it all and you can have it all. It's a buffet. There are no consequences. There are no penalties, as she said. And then we got to 2009, Modern Family. Now, I was teaching this class. I taught this lesson to a class of mine the other day, and this lady was telling me, oh, there's nothing wrong with Modern Family. I look at it, and I see what they're doing, and I see how they're trying to teach us different things about how to view life. It's making a mockery of what God has established as husband and wife. But we allow it into our homes. We watch it, we record it, and we run home to view it. What is it teaching us? And then we wonder why our thought processes are a little bit skewed, why our senses are dulled. And then this was the big one in 2012. Look, I had to take all my women at the church and have a whole class on why we should not be watching Scandal. And I was watching it too until one day the Lord said, hey, really? Really? Is this what we're doing now? And I said, you are so right. Anybody remember Scandal? Because some of y'all still watching it. Don't lie. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with Scandal? Glamorizing adultery. Here's what we don't ask. What's the message in the media? We don't ask, what's the message in the media? We read Titus. We read what we're supposed to be teaching one another. What we don't ask is, what is the media teaching us? Immorality, and you know what? We make it look pretty. Here's a Time article, and it said, people want to know just what is the state of the American woman? So depending on your worldview, the question could be answered many different ways. Our question is, what is the state of the Christian woman today? What are the unique needs of women, and how can the church best teach, lead, counsel, and support them? What is the state of the Christian woman today? Would that not be all of us? We've got to ask, what is the state of our hearts? What's the state of our attitudes? What's the state of what we're allowing in our eyes, the windows to our soul? What are we listening to? You understand that media is not neutral. It's teaching you something. And I left out of there, 50 Shades of something? Was it Gray? Because I saw now there's a new one, 50 Shades of Black or whatever. I had Christian women telling me they were lining up to go to the movie to see 50 Shades of Gray and trying to explain to me why that was okay. And I said, come. Let's go. Turn in your Bible. Let's just see what this is all about. Now, don't raise your hand if you went to see it. I'm just saying. And then we want to say men are the ones caught in pornography. Men are the ones doing. This is also pornography. It's just a more glamorized version. What's the state of the Christian woman today? Now, the only way we answer this is to know our worldview. Now, worldview is simple. It's, what do you believe about the world? What do you believe about yourself? And what do you believe about the God that created you and the world? So that's what worldview means. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about this creation? And what do you believe about the God that created all of it? You see, in Scripture, we're warned not to trust our own wisdom because we can be deceived by our own wisdom. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Let's do some Bible reading. I need some more volunteers. Psalm 1 and Proverbs 3 and then Proverbs 16. 1, 2, and I saw one over here, right here. Let's start with Psalm 1:1-2. Now, as a counselor, you need to memorize this one. How many of you have it memorized? Oh, good. Do me a favor. Let's stand and say it together. Those who know it, this is the counsel. Hold on. We're going to do it together. This is the ultimate one that you need to know. Wait. Put the Bibles down. I thought y'all said you knew it. Psalm 1. All right, let's go from the beginning. Oh, very good. Y'all did that. That is good. Now, listen, if you haven't memorized this yet, you need to memorize it, because here's the picture. We hear something that seems right, so we're walking along and we stop. And then before we know it, we are listening to it and we've taken a seat. And before you know it, it's governing our whole life. And it's not biblical. All right, that's good. That was Psalm 1. Let's read Proverbs 3. Who had, somebody over here had Proverbs 3. Oh, you know, let's do it again then. Let's do it again. Rise. For y'all know this one? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. All right, let's do it together.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your
path. Amen. Amen. Woo, I feel good. This is the advanced class. Yeah. In all your ways acknowledge him. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, the problem with this is that we trust ourselves way too much. We trust what we tell ourselves way too much. We have these conversations with ourselves. You know you do, right? You know, self. I'm always doing it, self. Girl, you better get a grip. It depends on what you tell yourself. So people say, oh, you're crazy if you talk to yourself. No. Depends on what you're telling yourself. Amen. Self, put that chocolate down. Self, walk away. She talking crazy. Start to walk in. Self, now you know what you're thinking is crazy. That's an unloving attitude. You need to repent right now. And then sometimes it's as simple as move your feet, girl. Move your feet. Get to moving. Move your feet. That's gossip. Get to walking. It depends on what you tell yourself, because what you tell yourself is what you're going to tell your counselee. Because if it works for you, it works for them. Right? Did we do 16 and 2? Y'all know that one too? I was about to say, y'all are good. Y'all are good. 16 and 2 and then 25, verse 25. I had a hand over here. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. All our ways are pure and right in our own eyes. Have you ever been in the middle of an argument, and I'm going to get back to 25, and you know you're right. And you're so right, you're strong and wrong. And you stand on, I know I'm right. And it looks a little bit like this. Oh, I know what you said, but I know what you said. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I know the word says only the Lord judges the motives of the heart, but I know what you meant. Only me? Verse 25. These thought processes that are not rooted and grounded in the word of God is going to lead to the end of death. Death in your relationships, death in your relationship with the Lord, because you will be so far from him. He didn't move. You moved. And then you wonder, what? I don't feel right. No, you don't, because you need to repent. You need to confess and repent and draw near to the Lord. Often we think we need, now I need to deal with that word need. I just don't have enough time. Often we think we need certain things when in reality we don't need these things at all. What are needs? This is a trick question. I'm just going to let you know. What do we need? I heard somebody say oxygen. All right. We need to breathe. Water, we need water. We need shelter. We need food. We need sleep. Now, what else do we need? We need the Lord. We need a right relationship with the Lord God. What else do we need? Everything else is a want. Ooh, now that's a little shocking. Right? Because earlier I heard y'all say we need love. I thought that's what I heard. Yes. We need love. So when you have that counselee that comes into your office and says, well, my husband just doesn't love me. And the word of God says that he's supposed to love me. And he's supposed to live with me in an understanding way. Yeah, it's a blessing that he loves you. It's a benefit that he loves you. But guess what? That command to love you is between him and God. And if he doesn't do it, it doesn't affect your relationship with God. Your thoughts about it affect your relationship with God. Ooh. We don't need new shoes. Eh, we can make a case for it, but we don't need. Right? Need. We must identify from the Bible what are the biblical needs of women. Then we can determine what is best to teach, lead, counsel, and support them. If you have not wrestled with this whole idea of needs, my friend, you need to get with it and get started on wrestling with that in your own life. Because if not, you're going to counsel them in ways that are not biblically appropriate. So what do Christian women really, really need? Well, we're going to say they need Christian transformation. We said they needed Jesus. They need to be transformed into the image of Christ. Romans 12 and 2. Someone read that for me. You got it? Say it for me. That's another one. We keep going. So that what is good, what is. Amen. I know. She's like, y'all just jumped in the middle. Right? So that we might prove what is what? The will of God. Y'all are so good. Now, if you don't know it, this is your purpose for ministering to women. If you have any other purpose, you're off key. This is your purpose. Every Christian is either a conformer, living for and like the world, or a transformer, daily becoming more like Christ. I like the Transformer movies in the beginning. Then they got a little crazy and started adding cursing and all that in the end. But when you think about the Transformers, wait, they came in as little cars and then they, Transformers? I have grandchildren, robots in disguise. Y'all don't know this? Here's the thing, though. You are either a conformer to the world. Remember all those shows we looked at? You are being conformed into the image of the world. Slight bits every week, 30 minutes. They have you actually 27 minutes. And you're being conformed to the world. Just little by little by little by little by little. Before you know it, you're speaking just like them. You're acting and you're thinking just like them. Or you're spending more time in the Word of God and you're being transformed into his image daily, more and more and more. The problem is the amount of time we spend in the Word versus the amount of time we spend in the world is skewed. We spend more time in the things of the world than we do in the Word. Come on, think about how much time you spend on social media. How much time do you spend texting, all this stuff? Now, I'm not talking about you're doing ministry on social media, on Facebook. All right, I'll buy that. You're doing ministry, right? You're ministering the gospel to these people on Facebook. Okay. You're Snapchatting the gospel. Okay. You're Twittering the gospel. Okay. But how much time are you spending in that? How much time are you spending doing other things that have nothing to do with the Lord? How much time? Here's a challenge I have for you, the advanced group. Here's my challenge to you. What is today? Saturday. Starting Monday, here's what my challenge would be to you. You ready for it? I want you to document from the time your eyes open to the time they close to go to sleep what you did all day. Now, I don't want no one-line entry. Went to work. Went to the grocery store, came home, picked up the kids, went to sleep. No. I want you, okay, 8 o'clock a.m., you wake up. From 8 to 9, I did what? From 9 to 10, I did what? From 10 to 11, I did what? From 11 to 12, because guess what? What you're going to find is that you spent a lot of hours doing things that you didn't think that you were spending so much time. I did this exercise for myself and found out I didn't realize that in the morning, just answering email took 3-4 hours. Just email. What do you think about that challenge?
I think it's
Try it out. And I am willing to bet you're going to fall flat on your face by the end of the week and ask God to help you. All right. Rather than being conformed to the patterns of this world, Christians are to be transformed by offering their bodies and minds to the Lord. So what do we do as women who serve women and have an influence with women? You do know that you have an influence, right? Do you believe that you have an influence?
Yes.
Everything you say is an influence. Everything you do is an influence. And everything you wear is an influence. So what does this ministry look like? What does this ministry look like? Now, we're talking about ministry because when you're counseling women, you're ministering to them. It is a ministry. And hopefully it is a Titus 2 ministry. Now, the role of the older woman. Now, older doesn't necessarily always in that text mean age. Because if it did, then some of us would be like, well, listen, I'm just going to let the 90-year-old women have it. I'm not old enough to be a Titus 2 woman, so don't call me to that ministry. It's the spiritually mature. So we all in here are in the advanced group. We're the spiritually mature. Or are we? Our behavior should reflect holiness. A woman should be able to follow you around your house and through your day and through your week and ask the question, what are the sights and sounds and smells that come out of your house? Yeah, I said smells because I'm going to leave it there. Someone should be able to follow you around and ask the question, how do you relate to your spouse? How do you relate to your dog? How do you relate to your neighbor? How do you relate? What's coming out of your mouth? Do you know? I have traveled all over this world, literally. I am shocked, horrified, and mortified by the conversation that's still happening with us as Christian women. We still curse like sailors. Ooh, don't make us real mad. And I said make. Don't let us get to functioning in that fit of rage where we really live. But what happened to the holiness and reflecting the holiness and the character of God? I had a Christian woman tell me, well, you know what? They just don't understand unless I put some emphasis on it. And I said, well, and did that make them do right? I don't think it did, right? How's that working for you? You have to add all of these explicit terms in order for them to get it. Here's what I said to these ladies that I was talking to one time. I said, do you understand that a third grader can cuss like a sailor? So you're really not exhibiting any type of special brain power here. You're acting like a third grader who doesn't know the Lord. So, ladies, I'm challenging you. Your behavior must reflect holiness. You can't be in the counseling session calling her to holiness, and then you step outside of the counseling session, she run into you at Safeway, and you cussing out the checker. Oh, y'all know it happens. Y'all know it happens. I've walked up on some. I've walked up on some in a dispute with their husband in the church. And I'm shocked and horrified. And I was talking to a lady the other night. She was just talking about whatever, 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 and outslid a word or two. She said, oh, Dr. Ellen, excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't say a word, but guess what that told me? This is who you are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? And this is who you are on a regular basis. It's so much who you are that you couldn't even catch it before it slid out. It's all of who you are. Oh, wait, must not be slanderers and gossips, right? Must not be slanderers and gossips. Now, do you know the Greek word for slanderer is little devil? So the next time you run into somebody that's slandering people all over the church, say, girl, stop being a little devil. Just stop it. Picking up gossip and spreading it is the idea here. So here's the idea. You're in church. You're going through the halls. You hear something. And guess what? You go, girl, do you know what I heard? Or worse than that, someone says something to you and you take it as truth. So then I go over here and I say to her, you know, I heard that sister so-and-so. Now, how do I know it's true? I've just picked it up and spread it across the world. How do you know it's true? Stop listening to most of it. You know, my ladies have been, they're trained now. They don't even come my way. They don't even come my way because they already know. The first thing I'm going to ask is, how do you know that's true? Well, and then my next question is, who told you? And now you don't want to tell me who told you, see? Because I'm going to ask them, how do you know? And before we get, by the time we follow this train, because I'm known to follow the train. Oh, she told you? Okay, here we go. How do you know? Oh, she told, okay. How do you know? Oh, so all of y'all are gossipers. Bring it here. Let's repent. And now you need to go apologize to the person because you've spread this all throughout the church. So they see me coming and they go, get that Baptist finger. No, because you're picking it up and carrying it. You're carrying, you're spreading it. You're a little devil. And that's not participating in God's order of life. All right, let's go on. My clicker is delayed. I don't know if it's a battery, but it's not. It's delayed. What are some of the characteristics of false teachers of Paul's day? Remember, he said they wouldn't submit to authority. They wouldn't submit. They were unruly. They were rebellious. They were vain talkers. They impressed people with what they knew, but not what they did. Hello. Is that not us? Are we not rebellious? Now, I'm not going to ask if we're gluttonous, but rebellious, won't submit to authority. Let me ask you something. Are you okay with people telling you no? And somebody said no. Are you okay with people telling you no? Uh-huh. At least she's honest. You know that's just the flesh, right? You know that it does not want to submit. So when someone tells you no, be it your pastor, your women's ministry leader, wait a minute, let's park. What about your women's ministry leader? She ain't the pastor. But guess what? She's put in charge to shepherd over you. Submit to all authority. Now, what I find interesting is the police officer that we don't know pulls us over, tells us to do whatever, get out of the car, stand on one leg, hop like a dog, whatever the case may be, we do it. Why? Because he's in authority. Is not your pastor in authority? Is not your husband in authority? Is not your boss in authority? Is not your leader at the church in authority? Yeah, but they can't write me a ticket. Oh, so your submission is only based on your consequence. Ooh, that's not submission at all. All right. What does the word likewise mean? He's saying older women, just as the same qualities of the older men, which he taught through the elders, you're supposed to do all that plus what he said. All of that plus. I'm having a hard time advancing. It won't let me advance. Now, what does your ministry look like? It should be a teaching ministry, right? You are to teach these women to be sober-minded, right? To seek after the right spiritual and mental attitudes. Teach with practical life examples. Now, here's the problem. Are you sharing your life struggles? Oftentimes, when we get to this place in life, we feel as though we've arrived. So we don't take the time to tell people, well, you know what? Guess what? Let me tell you what I used to be. Let me tell you why I was a sinner in need of a savior. Let me tell you, I did not come out all cleaned up and wonderful. And if the truth be told, I'm not all cleaned up and wonderful right about now. But see, we have this authority in the counseling room, right? We have this position. They see us as the authority figure. And you do you know what? Some of us almost like it because it's a little bit like worship. So we are hesitant to say, Yeah, you know, my husband and I had a disagreement yesterday, and I don't think I responded in the right way, so I see where you're coming from. Why? Because then that would make me look not as polished. Right? And we like that worship. They come in and they say, oh, you said something to me, and it really changed my life. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. But then after you've heard that 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 times, you're like, yeah, I got this. Uh-huh, I sure did. Yeah, I told her. Uh-huh. And look at her now because I was in her life. Practical life examples. Now, what am I not saying? I'm not saying you just run in there into all your little dirty secrets to your counselee because she can't handle it. She can't handle the truth. All right, you need to pick and choose and be wise about what you share and what you don't share. And if it is that big of a big dirty secret, you might not want to be counseling. You might want to be receiving some counsel, right? I've run into some counselors that are ladies committing adultery, doing different things. And my question is, you need to be counseled, not counseling someone. You need to be open and honest, ladies, theory and practice. You need to be transparent within reason is what we're talking about. All right, here's something I want you to know about the ladies that's coming to sit in front of you. Now, this is an old statistic. I looked it up right before I came here. Now the stats say 63% of all Christian members of churches are women. 63% of the church is women. Now, you add children to that, and guess who all is in the church? Women and children. We outrank the men easily. So now, if you've got a bunch of angry, mad, rebellious women, 63% of the church, guess what? Men, run for cover. And guess why they don't trust having women's ministry? Or guess why they're concerned about having female counselors? Guess why? Influence. 46% of the women in the U.S. say that they're born again. Now, this is interesting. Think about this. 46% say they're born again. 9 out of 10 women in the U.S. call themselves Christians. 9 out of 10. 80% of women consider themselves spiritual. Well, now we're slipping a little. Women are twice as likely to participate in discipleship training at church. 1 out of 5 women attend a small group for Bible study, prayer, or fellowship. 45% of women have read the Bible in the last week. But wait a minute. 9 out of 10 call themselves Christians. But only 45% of them read the Bible last week. Something wrong here? I bet if we surveyed this room, we'd find the same thing. 27% of women have shared their faith in the last year. Wait a minute. 9 out of 10 said they were Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but if you truly think about what the Lord did for you, if you truly realize where he saved you from, what he saved you from, what he saved you from, you don't understand. The women that you're counseling could have easily been us. It's only by God's grace. Are we recording this? It's only by God's grace that we're here today. Have to check. 27% of women said they share their faith. Why would you not share what the Lord has done for you if he really has done that for you? 49% of women desire to be active in the church. Now, here's the problem. 49% desire to be active, but they don't want to be active because we are some rebellious, angry, unruly women. And when they get active in the church, in the ministries, we start slandering and gossiping and treating them poorly because they don't meet our expectations. So then they end up in counseling because I haven't been to church in 15 years. Well, why have you? Because, you know, them holy rollers over there, they don't live what they preach. And guess what? Anybody feel the need to say, help, Lord? Help today, Lord? 46% of women say they are absolutely committed to the Christian faith. I'm confused. 9 out of 10 say they're believers. But only 27% share their faith, but 46% is committed. So what should you do as you minister to women? You need to emphasize in your counseling room spiritual growth, not just entertainment. You can give her a lot of different things to do, but if you don't teach her how to grow up in the Lord, guess what? You've just entertained her. You need to teach her spiritual growth, grow up in the Lord. Christian women do not need more outlets for entertaining. We have more than enough. We have more than enough. Now, it's wonderful if you decide that you're going to meet your counselee down at Starbucks. It's wonderful if you're going to take her out bowling and all this stuff. But if this does not have a Jesus agenda, you're just entertaining her. It's perfect if you decide y'all are going to go meet and you're going to go to the Cheesecake Factory and have some cheesecake. That's great. But when you get there, if that's all you do, all you did was have cheesecake. You need to move towards ongoing programs in your churches, not just special events. I know I have a lot of women's leaders here and stuff. Ongoing programs, not just special events. We do special events where we will have, let me see. Y'all may not have this. I was invited, and it's called 100 Women in Red. Anybody ever had or been to one of those? Yeah, I don't know why it is. I don't know what their purpose was. I don't know either. I asked them. I don't think they knew. It was just another event. It didn't have a purpose. It didn't have anything. They met on that day, and that was it. It didn't have any ongoing focus or follow-up to spiritual growth. Now, what do we need ultimately? Women need to live daily, daily in vital fellowship with Jesus Christ, seeking always to bring their whole life under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Daily. When you're talking to your counselees, you need to be asking them, how are you meditating on the Word of God daily? Which means you need to yourself be what? Daily. We need to engage regularly in serious Bible study. Now, why do I say serious Bible study? We get up and we read, you know, what is today? The 27th, I'm going to read Psalm 27 and go on about my business. Serious Bible study. What is the context? Who's speaking? What was he saying to them? And how does that apply to my life today? Serious Bible study and to use the Bible as a guide for their life. You need to teach these ladies that you need to ask the Bible, ask God through his word. What is he saying about your life? Learn the value of prayer and to practice prayer in their daily lives. You know, I'd be surprised. Some counselors don't even start with prayer. They don't start with prayer. It's not in the middle and they don't end with prayer. They don't even go to the counseling session in prayer. Do you know that when you're meeting with these women, you need the power of the Holy Spirit? You need direction from God. You need him to grant you discernment of their situation. You can't just walk in there in your flesh and think that all power from on high is going to show up every time. Now, every now and again, you're going to fall into it and get it right. And before you know it, you'll start to be self-dependent and think it's okay to function from the flesh. Women need to align their conduct with the teaching, spirit, and example of Jesus Christ. They need to do all they can to make their family life look different than the world. You need to teach them that their family life needs to look different. So your neighbor watches Modern Family. That's great. But do you need to be watching Modern Family? So your neighbor is okay with going to the club and getting drunk and drinking and doing all. Your neighbor is okay with that. But should that be you? Went to have a counseling session at this couple's house and walked in. And there was many bottles of wine. Many. I said, oh, okay. That's what we do. Okay. And they felt the need to explain real quickly. See, what had happened was, I didn't even ask. I just sat down. I'm just sitting here. Now, what about you? There was a line in Titus, he said, not addicted to what? Much wine. So I have a lot of ladies that play with me. Well, Dr. Ellen, you see, how much is much? I mean, now it's in the word. You said we're to live by the word, and the word says much wine. I said, well, listen, if you got to ask how much is much, you might need a counseling session. You might need a counseling session. I had some ladies in our church. This was many years ago, a different church. And it was when that new wine came out. I can't even remember the name of it now. It was right after Skinny. The new flavorful fruity one, I forget the name of it. But at any rate, it came out and they were having these wine parties with the women in the church. Nobody else disturbed but me? I was confused. How are you having wine parties? You don't know if they're an alcoholic currently. You don't know if they've been an alcoholic before. You don't know if you're causing them to stumble. You're introducing them to something. But the Bible says that the sin is not drinking. Yeah, it does. But it also says don't cause your brother to stumble. So now, how are you going to govern when they're drunk? And now when they're drunk at your house, acting a fool, guess who you want to call? Not Ghostbusters, you want to call me. But it's funny how I didn't get an invitation to that party. But you want to call me when things go wrong at that party. You need to make your life look different. Now, as leaders, as such that you are counselors, guess what? There are some things you just can't do. There's some things you just can't do. I'd tell you more about it if we weren't recording, but there's just some things that you just can't do. There's some stuff you can't do. Because what seems okay for you and may very well be okay for you. It may be okay for you, but it may not be okay for you in public. Because you may roll up to Chili's. Y'all have a Chili's out here? Yeah. You may roll up to Chili's and order yourself a nice glass of Moscato. Oh, it was Moscato. Moscato parties is what they were having. You may go to Chili's, sit down in the corner booth, and order yourself a nice glass, one, because you know your limit. One glass of Moscato and sit down, and guess who walks in? Your counselee. The one who you've been counseling about being drunk. The one that you spent 2 hours laboring through the word of God, teaching her about holiness and how she's taking care of the temple, and you're ruining your temple with getting drunk, and she rolls up, and there you are, sipping on your Moscato. Now, you may very well be within your biblical limits, but what have you just done? Is she coming back to you for counseling? Probably not. Probably not. You need to refuse to enter into relationships and or participate in activities which compromise or violate biblical principles. And this is the things that you're teaching her. Seek to apply Christian principles and standards of conduct to all social relationships. Meaning, how do you relate with the other sex? How do you relate with men? How do you relate with women? We used to have to only teach how you relate with men. Y'all ain't gonna go with me? Now we have to teach how to relate with women, because we have women who are coming in out of the cold. They're coming in out of darkness. And let me say this really quickly. If you find that you're struggling, let me go at it a different way. The Bible says homosexuality is what? It's a sin and it's an abomination to God. But what else did God say is an abomination? A lying tongue, pride, hands that shed innocent blood and run swiftly. Oh, some of you gossipers and slanderers in the church are an abomination to God as well. So here's the problem. We're so quick to counsel that homosexual about her being an abomination to the Lord, and then we run out and lie. And you know you're lying because your husband told you not to buy that thing and you thought you were going to get away with it anyway because it was on sale. So you saved him money. Right? So what am I saying? I'm saying that, you know what, and we're going to talk about it two sessions. We're going to talk about we are the biggest hypocrites around. Now, I'm not saying that homosexuality is not a sin and it's not an abomination, but I'm saying there are a whole bunch of steps that we've made an abomination to the Lord long before we got there. So the same grace that flows to us is the same grace that we should flow to them. So be very careful in your counseling rooms how hard you come down on that particular sin. Because if you're going to pound the gavel there, make sure you do it for your own heart. Because it's all an abomination to the Lord. Let's see. Let's get to the end a little bit here. We have 5 minutes. I know. That's what I said. Oh. The word of God is not to be blasphemed. It's a good motive for cooperation and obedience in the home. So you want to teach your counselee to cooperate with God by submitting in the home. Yeah, I said the S word. Submission is unto God so that, we read it earlier, right? So that what? The word of God would not be dishonored. You want to teach them to cooperate and be obedient in the home. Now, that's a word we don't like. I've got millennials, Christian women, taking it out of their wedding ceremonies. I'm not no dog. I understand, but you are a bond slave. At least the dog is free to roam as he chooses. You might rather be a dog. Do you see what I'm saying? We are committed to the Savior. We're in this thing. When you said I do to him, that's it. We're a bond slave. Your life is no longer your own. It was bought with a price. You are called to obey. You are called to yes, sir, and amen. Family strife and discord and divorces among Christians cause unbelievers to stumble over the gospel and sneer at the Bible. We are fighting and mad and upset with our spouses so much that the world is looking at us saying, I don't want that. It ain't working for you. Now, many of us know we can't biblically get divorced, right? So we're clear. He ain't done nothing and I ain't do anything, so we can't get out biblically, right? We just waiting, though. He might, right? Maybe if I encourage him in the way, he'll go on and commit adultery and I can get out. And this is where we are as Christian women. This is what we're thinking. So we know that we can't. So guess what? We live as roommates. We're not doing the things that wives are called to do. We're not submitting. We're not taking care of the home. We're not loving him. We're just there because we know we can't go. But yet we're counseling. We're counseling these women to love their husbands, love their children, be workers at home. And you're never home. I told one lady, does your car ever get turned off? Does it ever? Your feet seem like they are always in the street. Family strife causes the world to look at us differently. Let me ask you a quick question, then I'm going to conclude. What are you thinking right now? Somebody, I need 2 or 3 people just to tell me what you're thinking right now. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. She said, between me and my husband, she's really the sick of the both of us because we just convicts her spirit. Girl, they got the car. The car is running for me out back. They're going to get me up out of here. Amen. But praise God, we're being convicted, right? Because we need to be convicted. We need to press ourselves and challenge ourselves into this whole idea of I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as straight and holy as I think I am. 2 more people. What are you thinking right now? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is we've allowed the world to tell us that yes. We need to strive and hustle to get it all. We can go work, family can keep at home, and we can do all of those things, and it's actually causing discord. Oh, yes. Yeah, and we don't even have enough time to talk about this whole issue, but let me just park here and say, if you can do all of this and do it 100% well, then amen, I'm coming, sit at your feet. But at some point, you've got to realize you're not doing it all well. Somebody's losing out, and most of the time, it's the children. Let me close with this poem that I found really quickly. Here's what it says. If I can get the clicker to work. It says, don't be greedy. A woman was having a conversation with the Lord one day and said, Lord, I don't understand why we have so many problems in our women's ministry. The Lord led the woman down two doors. He opened one of the doors and the woman looked in. And in the middle of the room was a large round table and a large pot of stew sitting on it, which smelled delicious. And she says to the Lord, the people sitting around the table were thin and sickly, holding spoons with long handles that were strapped to their arms. So they had these spoons with long handles that are strapped to. Each person reached into the pot of stew and took a spoonful, but because the handle was longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. They could not eat the food. The woman shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. The Lord said to her, you see the problem? The next room was the same as the first one, the large round table with the large pot of stew. These women were equipped with the same long-handled spoons, but here the people were well-nourished and plump, laughing and talking, and the woman said, I don't understand. What's the difference, Lord? He said, it's simple. You see, they've learned to feed each other, while the greedy only think of themselves. The best way to teach, lead, counsel, and support Christian women is to bear their burdens and meet their needs, so that Christian transformation takes place. Don't be greedy, ladies. Feed your sisters in Christ. Amen. 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 See y'all later on.